If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we dig into fascinating sources to pull up those key insights for you.
Always good to be digging.
Yeah. So today we're taking a journey into, well, just an absolutely enchanting story, The Crab Who Painted Shells.
A lovely one.
It really is.
Yeah.
But we're not just here to, you know, retell a nice fable. We want to use it as a lens, actually, a kind of microcosm to explore something bigger. This often overlooked, maybe even disruptive power of intrinsic value, especially in a world that seems to prize, well, the purely practical.
That's right, the utilitarian.
Exactly. So our mission today, to unpack how unique expression, even when it looks, I don't know, unpractical or a bit whimsical,
right,
how that can actually redefine what we think is valuable. This deep dive, I think, is going to challenge some assumptions about impact. It shows how one individual's passion, even a crab's, can genuinely transform a community.
And inspire, yeah.
We're looking for those surprising links between Hermes art and maybe our own choices in this very metrics-driven world we live in.
And that's really why this story hits home, isn't it? Despite its simplicity, it's quite profound.
Yeah.
Because we are, I mean, as a society, we're so conditioned to measure worth by, you know, economic utility or immediate function.
To use it, can you sell it?
Exactly.
Right.
If you can't eat it, trade it, or, I don't know, build something with it, it often just gets dismissed. Like, oh, that's a waste of time.
Right.
Hermes' story is just this beautiful counter-argument. It's really urging us to look past those surface metrics and consider the deeper stuff, the emotional, social, even psychological value that comes from creative acts.
Yeah.
It kind of pushes us to see the difference between extrinsic value, what something's worth in exchange, and intrinsic value, its inherent worth, you know, to spirit, to community.
That's a really critical distinction to make right up front. And speaking of Hermes, let's dive into his world. The story introduces him as, well, someone who immediately stands out. Our source says he wasn't like the others scuttling along Coral Cove.
Already different.
Right. While everyone else is busy with typical crab stuff, foraging, digging, you know, defending themselves, Hermes drawn to something else entirely. He's an artist, finding his purpose not just in survival, but in, well, creation.
Yeah.
And what an artist. So dedicated, the narrative gives us this really vivid picture. Hermes carried a little satchel of paints, get this, made from crushed coral, seaweed dyes, and sparkly plankton dust.
I love that detail.
Isn't it great? Can you just imagine that ingenuity? He wasn't waiting for, like, an art supply shop to open.
Yeah.
He was basically bootstrapping his entire artistic operation from the world around him, every day finding not just a shell to live in, but a canvas.
A new canvas.
It wasn't just a hobby, you know? It was this deep, self-driven craft that really defined who he was.
And it's precisely that self-driven innovation that's just so compelling here.
Totally.
Hermes didn't just decide to be different. He acted on it, made his own tools, his own medium, literally from scratch. And that's not just being resourceful, is it? It's about this fundamental creative urge that doesn't need a, like, external validation or some pre-existing setup.
Right. No permission needed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It really embodies that powerful idea that being different is something to celebrate. His difference wasn't some flaw to be fixed. It was his strength, his unique contribution to Coral Cove. It kind of challenges us, doesn't it, to think about where our own real talents might lie, even if they don't fit neatly into, you know, standard career paths or what society expects.
Absolutely. It really does. Embrace your own lane, right? And the effect his art had on the other sea creatures, it was immediate. and very personal.
Yeah, the examples are wonderful.
They are. Like, he painted rainbow stripes on a shy hermit crab's shell so she could feel braver. I mean, that's not just painting a shell.
No, it's more.
It's like giving a psychological boost, a little shield of courage made of color. And then he decorated a snail's spiral with glowing stars so he'd never be afraid of the dark. What a beautiful, imaginative way to bring comfort, you know? Chase away fear.
It's lovely.
Even the clams, you know, the sources, they lined up, eager for swirls of sunshine and ocean waves painted across their shells.
Everyone wanted a piece of that beauty.
Yeah. The ripple effect was just undeniable. The story tells us soon the whole beach shimmered like an underwater gallery.
An underwater gallery. I like that.
Right. It wasn't just a few shells here and there. His creativity had actually transformed the whole environment. Made it a place of shared beauty, of wonder.
And this is really where we start to grasp that profound, even if it's non-traditional, value of art.
Yeah.
Hermes' art wasn't about food or shelter in the direct sense. It was about emotional and aesthetic enrichment.
Filling a different kind of need.
Exactly. It provided comfort, courage, beauty-fulfilling needs that are just as fundamental to our well-being, really, as the physiological ones.
Mm-hmm.
We often talk about art nourishing the soul. Right. Hermes' work is a perfect example of this.
Mm-hmm.
This effective value. It's like a silent language speaking to those universal needs, whether you're human or a sea creature, for meaning, for expression, connection, even if you can't, you know, put it on a balance sheet.
Right. You can't quantify it easily. But as often happens with creative stuff that steps outside the box.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Not everyone was immediately convinced. The story brings in this voice of skepticism, right? Percy. Pelican.
Oh,
Percy, always the pragmatist. He squawked, "Painting shells is a waste of time. You can't eat them and you can't trade them for fish."
Oh, that's such a classic line, isn't it?
It really is. That almost archetypal dismissal of anything that doesn't have immediate, tangible, and marketable utility.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder what's really behind that kind of practical dismissal we hear so often. Is it fear, misunderstanding? Or just a genuine belief that other things are, you know, simply more important.
Good question.
And you really feel for Hermes in that moment. The story says he felt discouraged.
Of course.
It's just such a relatable, very human reaction to doubt, to criticism. I think we've all had those Percy moments, haven't we?
Oh, definitely.
Where someone questions the whole point of your passion, that thing that lights you up, just because it doesn't fit neatly into some box of productive activities.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
Because Percy really embodies that purely utilitarian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
For him, value is only measured by direct exchange or, you know, consumption.
You can't measure it. It doesn't count.
Pretty much. And that perspective mirrors a lot of our default economic systems, actually. They often struggle to assign worth to things that don't generate immediate profit or, you know, add to the GDP.
Right.
So it raises this critical question for us. How often do we let those narrow definitions of worth dismiss real creative efforts or even our own less practical interests?
Yeah.
Hermes' initial discouragement is a reminder that the pressure to conform, to be useful in some predefined way, can so easily stifle unique talents and maybe groundbreaking ideas.
Exactly. But mm-hmm. then the story gives us this beautiful, really powerful turning point.
Yes, the children.
The arrival of children at the cove. They come in totally unburdened by Percy's kind of utilitarian math, right? They approach the world with just pure curiosity, wonder.
That openness.
Yeah. The narrative describes how their eyes widened at the colorful shells and they began laughing, collecting, and even painting their own.
They didn't just look, they joined in.
Exactly. It wasn't just passive appreciation. It was active engagement, inspiration, participation. The kids just instinctively saw the joy, the beauty, and they immediately wanted in.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just a couple of them. The text says, the beach became a joyful art festival.
Wow.
Yeah. From one lone artist to this communal interactive celebration, that's a huge shift. And it makes you think, how often do we as adults kind of lose that uninhibited capacity for wonder, that pure appreciation kids have?
That's such a great lead into the bigger picture lesson here, I think. Because this moment, it's a powerful demonstration of how that uninhibited appreciation, especially from those who haven't quite internalized the, you know, rigid metrics of adult society, yet how that can validate and amplify something creative that was initially doubted.
Right. It gives it life.
It really does. It's proof of how creativity and self-expression can inspire others
mm-hmm.
in ways that just bypass that whole economic logic.
Mm.
Hermes' art didn't need some complex justification. It just needed an audience open to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And this moment effectively generates what sociologists might call social capital, you know, that unquantified value of community bonds, shared joy, collective identity, stuff that's forged through acts that aren't about commerce.
Right, priceless benefits.
Exactly. Priceless, yet often invisible in our usual ways of accounting for things.
And it wasn't just the children who were eventually won over, was it?
No, indeed.
Even Percy, our initial skeptic, he couldn't resist the infectious joy. We're told he peeked back, pretending not to care.
Oh, that classic denial.
Yeah.
Trying to keep up the pragmatic front.
Totally. But eventually, something inside him shifted.
Yeah.
The story describes his hesitant request. He whispered, "Could you paint my beak with lightning bolts?"
Lightning bolts, I love it.
Right. And Hermie, of course, smiled and happily agreed. This moment is just so telling, isn't it?
It really is.
Percy wasn't asking for, like, a better fishing technique or something he could trade. He was asking for, well, for an aesthetic.
Yeah.
For a touch of Hermie's unique magic just for himself. Something purely for expression, for joy.
Mm.
It really shows how even the most resistant hearts can be touched by beauty and maybe that desire for self-expression we all have somewhere.
And the significance of Percy's request, I think, it just can't be overstated.
Yeah.
It's like a symbolic surrender almost.
Mm.
A profound acceptance of Hermie's unique skill that goes way beyond his first practical objections. Percy wasn't asking for more fish. He wanted lightning bolts.
He wanted flair.
Exactly. And this isn't just about looking good. It's about personal identity, about expression.
Mm.
It shows how joy and beauty are, well, universally appealing.
Right.
They can break down even the most rigid utilitarian viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Percy's shift means his own definition of value expanded.
Mm.
He recognized that life isn't just about survival. It's about thriving,
yeah,
about having something that makes you feel alive, feel distinct. It's a powerful lesson in how intrinsic value can, you know, eventually win over even the biggest skeptics.
And Hermes' impact wasn't just a flash in the pan. It became something foundational.
A lasting legacy.
Yeah, the story tells us about this beautiful tradition. From then on, every summer evening at Coral Cove became shell painting night, where sea creatures and children gathered to share colors, stories, and smiles.
Fantastic.
It grew into this cherished ritual, a regular celebration of art, creativity, community. That's a pretty amazing transformation for something first called a waste of time.
Now, what's truly fascinating here is how Hermie's individual act, just born from his unique passion, how it blossomed into this shared community tradition. This isn't just about one crab painting anymore. It's about creating a new social ritual, fostering shared experiences, strengthening bonds, even across species.
Right.
It proves pretty definitively that art builds community and joy, even if it's not useful in the usual way. The usefulness here is in the smiles, the stories, the sense of belonging, the emotional wealth it generates.
Mm-hmm.
Think about real-world things like community gardens, local festivals, maybe open mic nights.
Mm.
These are spaces where intrinsic value, connection, joy, they're prioritized. They create this intangible wealth that often just dwarfs any direct economic output.
That's a great connection. And Hermie, through all this, he came to this incredible personal understanding.
Yeah, the realization.
The source says he knew now that art didn't have to be practical to be powerful. It made the world brighter. What a beautiful, simple, but utterly profound truth.
It really is.
It's not about the bottom line or the transaction. It's about the glow, the enrichment, that fundamental human need for beauty and connection that art can fill.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, what does this all mean for you? Listening, maybe grappling with your own modern Cove complexities. Let's circle back to those core lessons from Hermie, but maybe with that deeper analytical lens we've been using.
Right.
First, creativity and self-expression can inspire others. Hermie's passion wasn't just for him. It created this ripple effect, this positive externality that changed his whole community. It shows how individual acts of unique expression can actually catalyze broader social shifts.
True.
Second, being different is something to celebrate. Hermie wasn't like the other crabs, and that difference, that was his superpower.
Absolutely.
In a world that often pushes us to conform, his story is just this powerful affirmation that our unique qualities, even our quirks, are often our most valuable assets. They can unlock entirely new possibilities.
Yeah, lean into the difference.
And finally, art builds community and joy, even if it's not useful in the usual way. It's just a strong reminder that utility comes in many forms. And sometimes the most profound benefits for society are the ones you just can't slap a price tag on.
Mm-hmm. They're the foundations of social cohesion, collective well-being.
Exactly.
Indeed. And the overarching lesson from Hermie's journey is, I think, really profound and super relevant to our lives. The things that make you unique can light up the world. Never hide your colors.
Love that.
And this isn't just about art with a capital A, right? It's about your distinct talents, your unique perspective, your quirky passions. Whether that's a hobby or an unconventional way you approach a problem at work, or just a particular way you connect with people.
Yeah, any kind of color.
Right. We often feel this immense pressure, don't we, in our professional lives, personal lives. Pressure to conform, be practical, fit into these predefined boxes.
Yeah.
But Hermes' story actively encourages us. Embrace what makes you different. Understand that your greatest contributions might come from exactly those places where you diverge from the norm. It's about overcoming that inner Percy.
Yeah.
And sharing your authentic self.
Such a powerful and, yeah, deeply motivating thought. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Hermes' story and that surprising power of creativity.
My pleasure.
It's a tale that really resonated, and we hope it sparks something wonderful, maybe even a little disruptive in you.
And as you go about your day, maybe we can leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over.
Okay.
What unpractical passions or unique qualities in your own life, or maybe in the lives of people around you, are actually creating joy, connection, or some unexpected light that we might just be overlooking? Think about those things that don't fit neatly into that box of utility or immediate profit, but bring this immense, often immeasurable value to just the human experience. Are you maybe underestimating their power? Or perhaps hiding your own lightning bolts when they could be lighting up someone else's world?
It's a question worth asking, because the next shell painting night might just be waiting for you to start it.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.